are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, May 27th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. A regular Casual Friday guest, Cliff Schechter, is literally being casual on a picnic blanket right now with his children. So joining us this week, the great Heather Digby Parton from the Uber blog Hullabaloo. Also on the program today, to save America again, Andy Kindler will be with us. We'll find out what his jihad of the week is. Also on the program today, a superbug long dreaded by doctors, not susceptible to antibiotics, has now arrived in the U.S. Its name is not Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Obama in Hiroshima, the first sitting president to visit that city. Peter Thiel's a perverted philanthropy getting more attention. And Marco Rubio has even less integrity than you thought. The head of the CDC is literally having to beg for Zika funding. And a Senate bill, without any public begging that I'm aware of, will allow the FBI a whole new set of warrantless powers. And a government study reports that cell phones and cancer have a link. All that and more. We'll get to that American liberal, that sniper, apparently exaggerated how many medals he won.
Oh, I thought he exaggerated how much of a sociopath he was.
No, I don't know.
A lot of those stories you would sort of hope that he was lying about.
Yeah, one can imagine. Now, where is that story? I thought this was it. But where is that story about President Obama's? I've lost that story already. Sorry. Can't do it.
What lost story?
The one about where he's moving.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Here it is.
Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, here it is. Okay. This is a... I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised this hasn't gotten more attention. President Obama and his family have already planned to move to a mansion in the upscale Kalorama neighborhood of Washington, D.C. Apparently, it's about 2 miles from the White House. They're going to stay in Washington, D.C. until Sasha completes high school in 2018. I know that feeling, except for my kid's three. They're going to rent an 8,200-square-foot, nine-bedroom house. I mean, this is almost identical to my experience. 8,200 square feet. The house is valued around $6 million. with an estimated monthly rent of $22,000. It's like living in New York. In a one-bedroom with 450 square feet. Here's the part that I am really surprised is not getting more attention. It's not just that John Podesta's brother lives a couple of doors down. But Mr. Podesta, Tony Podesta, a Democratic lobbyist, apparently has pizza parties over his house. He's got, an outdoor pizza oven, which is pretty nice. However, several times a day, there is a line of parked taxis snaking down the street because their occupants, i.e. the taxi drivers, are drawn to the Islamic center on the block for Muslim prayers. Huh. President?
How's it going, Sam? Allahu Akbar.
Wow. You really...
First of all, I'd like to apologize to the yellow man.
What's that?
I'd like to apologize to the yellow man for the crimes that we committed.
Oh, are you referring to your trip to Japan?
Yeah, just in general. Sorry.
I'm not...
America's a disgusting colossus filled with fat white people, and I apologize. Oh, that felt great.
President Obama, I'm glad you're here. The idea of you living down the street from Islamic Center, sounds a little bit sort of convenient, isn't it?
Look, let me be clear. First of all, this is a Sunni institution, and I've explained to you I don't know how many times with that supposedly sharp Jew brain of yours that I'm Shia.
Okay.
And secondly, they've hosted interfaith dialogues. I'm not involved in that nonsense.
Frankly,
when we implement Sharia law in this country, those people would be beheaded too.
All right. I see what you're saying. So they're, I mean, that's, they're sort of enablers of...
Look.
Yeah.
The brother minister said that when the white man recognizes his own devilishness, right, he won't know how to handle it.
I'm not sure that answers my question, but I do appreciate that.
That's because you're not keeping up with divine mathematics.
All right.
Once again, I'd just like to say and take every opportunity I can to say this, that I'm sorry for America. I'm sorry for its weight problems. I'm sorry for its Jews in high places.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for its general tackiness.
Yeah.
And I apologize for inflicting the white race on the world.
Well, I mean, it's not your fault. So,
as a Muslim, you learn that even when you apologize does not mean that you're taking responsibilities for others' actions.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Merely acting in harmony with Allah's will.
Right.
Which has been my entire purpose of being president.
It's,
as I call it, Grand Ayatollah.
Don't you? I mean, I don't want to. We got to get going here, but let me just ask you this question. I mean, I guess this is one I probably should have waited until, later in your tenure. But we're now past the date where you can issue, your agencies can sort of create new regulations without Congress having a fast track to reversing them. You're not going to get anything else legislatively done. I mean, we're not living in a caliphate. I mean, do you feel like to a certain extent that maybe you failed?
Look, I would be the first to acknowledge that the bold plans that I outlined for America in terms of destroying the white man's ability to vote, in terms of building mosques in every town square, we haven't been able to achieve all those goals. But we've moved forward. We've degraded this country. We've apologized. We've left it weaker than we found it. We've hurt the white man. And I could take pride in that. It's an ocean liner. Yeah. That's what I told your former Jew comedy partner. Change doesn't happen overnight. That's what I told Mark Maron.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
It's a long process.
I just got to say, we got to take a break. But I'm really sad that you have to get into that politician speak at the end there. It's all just sort of double talk. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the great Digby.
Everything but the truth, the truth. Three little words over time, overheard and overused. Used.
could spend it all.
All right, we are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone. It is always a pleasure to welcome to the program from the Uber blog, Hullabaloo, which after now, gosh, 12 years, I'm able to actually pronounce. Heather Parton or Digby. Heather, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
So, all right, I want to start off with the CDC story because... you know, we're so inundated with electoral minutiae, which we'll get to, of course. I mean, it is sort of compelling. We're living in a very strange era. But not unrelated in some respects is the story of the CDC head literally having to beg for money to deal with what could be a... Well, it is in other countries, and it could be in this country, just a horrible, I don't know if epidemic is the right word, but just a catastrophe.
Well, that's what they're, I mean, I think the head of the CDC, who held a press conference yesterday talking about this, I think he called it an epidemic or an impending epidemic. And this Zika virus is an absolutely horrifying illness that, of course, it causes birth defects for people who don't know or haven't read. It's mosquito-borne, and if pregnant women get infected with the virus, they can have children with what's called babies with microencephaly, which is smaller than normal heads, and it can be fatal. It obviously can cause very, extreme birth defects. It's a horrible disease, and apparently it is preventable or at least containable if you put the right effort into it. I mean, the guy from the CDC yesterday was saying, look, we can do something about this. We have the capability of doing something about this, whether it's preventing pregnancy and helping women get contraception or various other methods of trying to contain the epidemic. Unfortunately, in the U.S. Congress, they've decided to use this as some kind of a political football and have decided not to fund the request from the CDC and other organizations that are working to do that. And in fact, the guy, the head of the CDC yesterday, is out there trying to get private funds to try and combat this epidemic because the Republicans in Congress are refusing to do it. They're saying, you've got plenty of money in the Ebola fund, as if we don't need to, combat Ebola. Forget about that one. Let's just move the money over here. And of course, they're saying, look, that money that's dedicated to Ebola, number one, it did help stop the recent outbreak, but they're working very hard in Africa and elsewhere to try and contain that and make sure that it doesn't come back. But apparently, whatever, that was last year's, horrifying, deadly epidemic. We'll just forget that, and you can move the money over to this. And it's just not true. So basically, they're using this as a political football and talking about, they're going to be fiscally responsible. And in the end, these great, and by the way, these are all the great pro-life people who love babies and, care only about the children. They don't care if we have thousands of kids born in the United States with microencephaly. And by the way, they, you know, it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars, every child who is born with this birth defect, in medical care. So, you know, talk about robbing Peter to pay Paul. So that's where we're at. It's just, it's an absolutely horrifying, every time I read this, I'm stunned and outraged by it. I mean, I feel like these people, yesterday I wrote a piece on my blog about it, you know, they're moral monsters for doing this. I can't, I mean, of course we can afford the money to do this. It's insane. Of course we can. And the idea that they wouldn't automatically just pro forma approve financing for something like this is just, it's astonishing, absolutely astonishing. But that's where we're at. You know, that's American politics 2016.
Well, but I mean, I don't understand what the, well, first off, and I, you know, I guess this is the times where I sort of feel like maybe I should be watching cable news just to see if anybody is talking about this.
No, I do watch it, and I can tell you nobody's talking about it. It doesn't exist. No, instead we're talking about, you know, every inane utterance of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton's emails. That's important. This is not.
So, I mean, this cuts both ways, right? I mean, because on one hand, if nobody's talking about it, and I am a Republican lawmaker, and I have a shred of human decency, but I'm also politically cowardly, theoretically, I could say, well, nobody's going to notice that I okayed funding for what could be a horrible disease. We have 1,500 people in this country already who are infected, at least 1,500. And this thing seems to spread fairly rapidly. I mean, on one hand, right? I mean, the lack of publicity, one would think maybe that would salvage, you know, make it easier for them to vote for it. But on the other hand, it's like, I don't even understand what the value is here. It's just, this is just like, we're going to hold the line on government spending for deadly diseases?
For I mean, that really is what it is. I mean, everything I've read about it, and it's not easy to find stuff, to find any coverage on it.
Right, because
I mean,
nobody's even reporting on it.
Yeah, but from what I can tell, trying to, you know, read between the lines on the political coverage of it, it really is a matter of these I mean, I can't find anything where they're using this as a particular leverage point, which would still be horrifically immoral, but at least you could find some logic in it. I can't find any evidence of that. What it seems to me is this is just some, you know, quote, principled conservatives holding the line and saying we are not going to approve spending, period. By the way, the same principled conservatives who were lining up to endorse Donald Trump, who, you know, I don't know if you can call him a lot of things, but a principled conservative, he is not. So, you know, that their conservatism does have its limits. It's not as if they are willing to hold the line against him, but Zika virus and children born with unusually small heads and terrible birth defects, that's one way they're going to prove their bona fides as great conservatives in that way. That's the only thing I can figure. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some kind of a hidden thing, or I've missed some analysis that would show me that there's something else going on here, but I don't see it. As far as I can tell, they seem to have just decided the government doesn't need the money for this. They can go find it somewhere else, and that's their bottom line. We're not going to do it. And you know, we've seen this happening in other aspects. I mean, you know, even if, let's go back to the financial
Hurricane
crisis,
Sandy,
you know,
or
Hurricane Sandy.
I mean, TARP. At least there was like some, you know, wiggle room is to like, do the banks really need this? I mean, you know, this is like, you know, this is at a, obviously the urgency level may not be as extreme in some way, but I mean, there's not like, you'd have to believe in a pretty serious bat crap crazy theory. If you think like, you know, this guy from the CDC is just trying to pad his budget. With this Zika,
exactly.
I mean, look at
that. They're all corrupt, you know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Zika virus people are actually making big bucks. I mean, I haven't seen any evidence of that, but, you know.
Do you think, yeah, it's going to be these global, this is probably part of the global climate science hoax. I mean, right. Honestly, let me ask you this. Do you think that part of this, I mean, because every image I've seen at this point of a child who has suffered birth defects from this has come from Latin America. And I wonder if this plays into it. I mean, you know, like, there's no doubt, and, you know, I don't want to quite pivot yet to Donald Trump, but there's no doubt that Donald Trump has made it that much harder, I think, for Republicans. And I don't even want to give them the credit to even say that, but that he's demonized, people from Latin America. And the idea that this is, you know, a disease that is coming from the Southern Hemisphere, I wonder if it's just sort of like, we don't want to get associated with that. We don't, you know, like, it, I wonder if that's part of it.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, last summer or the summer before that we had a bunch of refugees, children who were, you know, coming thousands of miles to get away from horrible violence in their countries. And we have laws that actually on the books that, you know, we will receive children, you know, who are coming from violent places. They pitched an incredible fit over that. The Republicans did, the right wing in particular. And there were exceptions, by the way. I mean, there were people like, even like Glenn Beck or Britt Hume, who were saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, can we at least deal with the kids? Is that okay with you? But for many people on the right, this was an absolute, you know, they were totally ready to deny those kids entry, send them back where they came from. I mean, we had, even here in California, I don't know why I'm saying even here in California, there are plenty of bigots here, but there were a bunch of bigots who were featured very, very frequently on TV who actually stopped buses filled with refugee kids. In their town, not that far from where I live. I mean, it's in Southern California on the sort of central part of the state. And, you know, so this was a big thing. And, they had Laura Ingraham saying, you know, every day railing against these kids and saying they're ungrateful and they're liars and, you know, on and on and on. So, sure, I think I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it is the picture that you see of Zika. And one of the places, of course, where they're very concerned is Puerto Rico, which is, you know, I don't know how most right wingers feel about about Puerto Rico, but I'm sure they don't have warm feelings. But you know, that's America, by the way, and you know, it's going to be happening in America. That's one of the things. I don't think people should feel too secure about this. Yes. I mean, it's not just going to hit Latinos. I hate to tell you, but you know, other Americans will be beset by this, because mosquitoes, as far as I know, are not bigots and don't care who they bite. And this Zika virus is very resistant to treatment. And apparently, in fact, the guy from the CDC yesterday said that were testing various, you know, insecticides or whatever, repellent type thing, you know, that, to kill the mosquitoes. And these mosquitoes were really strong. It was very, very difficult to kill them. Now, maybe they think that Trump can build a wall high enough to keep the mosquitoes out. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's the idea here. We'll just build a wall so high that mosquitoes won't be able to fly into the United States from Latin America. But, you know, I have a suspicion that's not actually going to work.
You know, and we should say that, you know, President Obama has been, or the Obama administration has been engaging in sort of they've either planned it or have begun another mass deportation, I mean, presumably, right, is because they're concerned about, I don't even know. I mean, to be honest with you, I can't even come up with the, I can't even come up with the rationalization of this. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't either. I have no idea what's going on. It has a feel to me of maybe some kind of, you know, bureaucratic deal that was made at some point and that they can't get out of, but I have no idea. It's actually astonishing to me that they would be doing this in an election year. I think it was starting this month, right, where they were going to move. Now, the truth of the matter is that this has been known that they were going to do this, and it does have to do with deportation, I believe, of a rather small number of people. I mean, it's 200 or 300 people I read somewhere. So it's not like it's a mass deportation. But nonetheless, even just the optics of it are bizarre,
right,
and kind of counterproductive considering the message of the current election campaign. So I don't have any idea what that is, but it's a bad idea. And at this point they should just put a moratorium on all deportation and let's sort this out after the election, because I don't really think that there's any point in deporting people at this moment. I can't even imagine, especially since there is a deadly epidemic in Latin America.
Indeed.
Right now. I mean, maybe we could just
I'm completely befuddled by it, frankly. And even the idea of, for a while there was this feeling of, okay, he's doing this. The Obama administration is doing this because they want to develop some bona fides so they can actually do immigration reform. But I mean, immigration reform is out the window. But all right, let's move on and talk about obviously the Zika virus is a malignant force in the U.S., but there's a bigger one at the moment. And he has a huge hair weave, apparently. I'm actually at the point where I think like that today's version of like the Woodward and Bernstein would be the deep, deep investigative report on what's going on with Donald Trump's hair. I mean, I feel horrible feeling this way, but I am, convinced that if somebody figures out, the reason why he's covering the back of his neck is because of the hair plug scars, and he's got hair plugs, in the center of his head, and then they do the weave, and that's what hold the weave there, and we had photographs, and I almost feel like that would be, I think that would be in some ways sort of the end of Donald Trump in some weird way, I think. But I think like this is what the country needs. It's sad that we've gotten to that place, but I honestly believe like that's the only kind of serious reporting that we're going to get from the media these days.
Well, I mean, I would guess that it's the one thing that people might look at and go, find intriguing. I mean, everything else seems to, bounce off of him. I mean, talk about a Teflon Don. Nothing seems to stick with him. That story, which was done by Gawker, which was actually a deep investigative piece on Trump's hair, was actually quite interesting. More than you ever wanted to know about Trump's hairpiece, which it seems clear it actually is. There is an actual hook on that is important, or at least should be of interest to people, which is that in his divorce from Ivana Trump, his first wife, she had claimed that he had raped her in their divorce, settlement or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was on the reason, the way she described what happened was about she had sent him to her plastic surgeon to have some scalp surgery done to cover up a bald spot. And he was so upset about the result that he ended up ripping out pieces of her hair, ripping her clothes off, and raping her. That's what she claimed. And after the fact, I mean, he was so upset about the bald spot. I mean, this is like, this is obviously something very, very important to him. And she afterwards, when they finally settled up and, whatever financial agreement they made, she came back and said, well, it was a marital dispute. It wasn't really a rape. I wouldn't describe it that way. So, but she didn't deny that it happened, and she didn't deny the bald spot part of it. So one suspects that Trump has his vanity, as we already know from his, tiny hands and what have you,
right,
is extreme. And this is one area that, probably somebody in the campaign, I have a feeling, will start dogging him, on the campaign trail, doing it like a Chicken George thing. Do you remember that?
Right.
Where they were, following George H.W. Bush around in a chicken suit because he wouldn't debate. And, that sort of trolling of Trump on the campaign trail. I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody doing that because he's obviously very, very, very sensitive.
About the weave.
About the weave.
Well,
which, you know, I can't even believe that this is, you know, what is happening, Sam? What is going
on?
I'll tell
you, I mean, it's probably not necessarily in my best interest to say this, but there have been times where I have been sitting waiting to go on at MSNBC, where I go and I pontificate, in 5, 10, 15 minute segments, where I have heard some of the reporters, primarily they now come from NBC, who talk about Donald Trump in ways that are just stunning to me. They'll say stuff like, you know, when that big New York Times piece came out on women, and I hear things like, he's a complex man. You know, like things that are just like, are you? I mean, the level of, I think there is a compulsion by the media to really make sure that there's some type of race here, and that there's some type of, that they don't, like, in some ways, the media is acting very similarly to, like, Paul Ryan, right? And Paul yeah. Ryan actually has, you know, there's a lot more sort of immediate forces working on Paul Ryan for him hemming and hawing about this stuff. But it really is, and I think, you know, I mean, I guess my broader point is that the entire Republican Party is held hostage by their base of their party, which I think, you know, as far as they can tell, is got to be larger than, you know, 40%, right? I mean, you know, that was the story, you know, Donald Trump only get 40% of Republican voters, but it surely seems that a good 60% of them would have an issue with any Republican who would step out of line and not support Donald Trump. I mean, I think Paul Ryan's going to get there eventually. But we saw what happened to Susana Martinez this week, where she was slammed and sort of isolated from the rest of the party in some respects. And it's almost as if the media has the same sort of problem. Like, they're afraid of alienating Donald Trump's base, too. Now, for them, it's obviously just sort of it filters through in some, they're afraid of being seen as being biased, or they're afraid of the loss of viewership. Although I would imagine that's not as much of an issue on, a place like MSNBC. So it's just sort of like these reporters are just trained or conditioned to believe, like, I can't call this guy out as the joke that he is. The horrible, cruel, dangerous joke. I just find it stunning. I mean, this is, I headlined that Marco Rubio has even less integrity than we thought, but that's not really true. I never thought he had that much integrity.
No, I'm not.
But it is pretty amazing, right? I mean, how far this guy went.
I'm stunned by this. I mean, I'm stunned by the media's, you expected it. You know, you expect that both sides do it, the he said, she said, you know, unless the campaign says it, we can't cover it kind of nonsense that we've seen for many years from the mainstream media about the two parties. And those of us on either side of that have always complained and, you know, said that, you know, it's not fair to, you know, just assume that both sides are equal in these issues. That is completely irrelevant to what's happening in this particular race. Donald Trump is not like anybody else. To even attempt to treat him as if he is in any sense like a normal presidential candidate, that he is doing, he is even running his campaign, even everything about this campaign that he's running is unique. And the idea that they're trying to somehow normalize this and make it just another horse race is absolutely astonishing to me. Number one, they're missing the story if they're doing that because there's something else going on here.
Right.
But for instance, yesterday I was watching that Halperin-Hyland show on MSNBC. I can't think of the name of it. And they were talking about Trump's campaign and the – the constant infighting and craziness that's going on within it, which is a big story, or it should be. He has two factions within his campaign. He has the Lewandowski people, who are his old guard, who were with him from the beginning of the campaign, who he clearly prefers. That these people, they're toadies. They Brown knows him to death. They, Mr. Trump, it's all very. Mm-hmm. He likes that organizational concept of those people. And then he's got the pros coming in under Paul Manafort, who's been around forever, and he's very, he actually, somewhat anyway, knows what he's doing. He hasn't been involved in American politics in a while, and I think it kind of shows. But what you're seeing is so he brought in professionals. Just this week, they fired one of the pros, Rick Wiley, who they had brought in to kind of manage the national campaign on the ground. And he apparently got into some kind of an argument. Well, he was working in Florida, which is obviously, it's the big swing state. It's probably, right. if Trump can't win it, he's got a problem. So he's down there trying to organize that. And the person who had organized Trump's campaign, the primary campaign, and who they believe is some kind of a genius because, he beat Marco Rubio in Florida, they were battling. And Rick Wiley was ignoring this person because, this person is pretty much, is kind of an amateur, and he's trying to professionalize the campaign, right? So she starts, this person who is a Lewandowski person, Wiley is a Manafort person, she's complaining, and finally Trump hears wind of it, gets her on the phone, and basically, I'm sorry this happened, this is terrible, and ends up, telling Wiley, you're not allowed to talk to this person, you've got nothing to do with it, you can't email her. And Wiley ends up leaving, whether by choice or whether he was fired is still right. unknown. Now, this is after 6 weeks. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on in the campaign, with Trump himself involved in that kind of minutia, which is just ridiculous. Some Florida operative getting him on the horn and saying, they're being mean to me, and him going, don't you worry, I'll take care of it. I mean, this is dumb. Hey, everybody, this is Donald Trump, the great businessman who's going to run the most powerful nation on earth. In any case, that kind of stuff is what's going on and in the campaign. Aside from all the craziness that we see in public, there's all this other stuff going on behind the scenes. And I'm watching Halperin and Heilman yesterday, and they tell this whole story about Wiley and Manafort and the fighting and the infighting. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then they go, now, what does that remind you of? Hillary Clinton's campaign. And Heilman goes, oh, yeah, well, not Bill Clinton's campaign, Hillary Clinton's campaign. And I'm just sitting, I just practically spit up my coffee. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, what evidence is there that there is anything like that happening in Hillary Clinton's campaign? Nothing. It's been seamless. There's no infighting, at least not that I know of. I mean, it seems like a campaign where everybody is on message. I mean, you can argue with whether or not they're doing it right, I guess, but there's no evidence that there's any kind of disarray or problems within the campaign itself. I mean, I haven't read a thing about that, but they are reflexively go there and say, well, both sides are a mess. I mean, I guess she's also some kind of, megalomaniacal Bond villain. I mean, in order for them to try and equalize this thing. And it just makes no sense. But, it's very disturbing because this is how really crazy things happen. I mean, these people could wind up being accomplices in Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. Their hostility toward Clinton is obvious and has been for many, many years. And it's even worse, this idea that they're going to normalize this guy and make him somehow, seem as if this is politics as usual to have this absolute loon on the Republican ticket. I'm frankly getting a little frightened by that because, you keep thinking that somehow or another that everybody's going to wake up and go, hey, right. Yeah, all right, joke's over, back to normal here. And it doesn't seem to be happening. And I think, your observation that people are kind of going, well, he's a very complicated man, not that complicated. He's a con man. Yeah, not complicated.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's pretty stunning. And I will say that, the fact of the matter is, I don't know that we've ever had a more ignorant of governing sort of candidate who's been more ignorant of governing and just broadly speaking than Donald Trump. But also, I mean, just, you know, it was interesting. I was on yesterday where he had, you know, he was in, I think it was, where was he yesterday? In Wyoming or North Dakota or?
North Dakota, yeah.
Yeah. And he had, he was on Indian territory and had called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. And they did an interview with one of the reporters who were there. And apparently his campaign did not know that there were certain customs there where you pay, you know, certain respects to the leadership of the Indian tribe that whose territory you're going on to. And it just occurred to me, like, this is like when you hear all these stories of like our European allies, right? Being worried, like this idea that he can go in there and it's, you know, he wants to rattle our allies. You just give him a little rattle. Like there, you know, some of this stuff is a little bit more precarious, I think, than that. I mean, which is not to say that the stuff that he would do domestically would be any better, but that's that foreign policy area is sort of the area where he, you know, I feel like it's a situation where like, oops, and something horrible happens. Yeah. Pakistan.
Well,
I think
President Obama said it yesterday. I mean, he was in Japan. They asked him about it. And he did say that they're getting a little rattled. But one of the things that he's been kind of indicating, and I think he really wants to get into this because I think he's genuinely concerned about what's going to happen, and not just about his legacy, but about what this loose lips, you know, idea of Donald Trump. He doesn't seem to realize that the president of the United States, or even the Republican candidate for president of the United States, when he says things, there are consequences from his words.
Yeah.
But I don't think he really gets that just, you know, popping off is not something that a president can do or a presidential candidate can do. I mean, we have had some, you know, in the early stages of all these campaigns, there's always some loons who are running around, you know, some eccentric candidates who are running around. But he's the nominee, and him saying these things has reverberations around the world. It will affect markets, and it will affect our relationships with other countries. And what Obama said yesterday is that, you know, he said, look, you know, some people running for president, and I don't think he was talking about Clinton or Sanders, don't seem to understand America's place in the world order. And, you know, you can argue with the world order if you want and say that it's wrong and that we got to change it and there's a thing. But the fact remains is that the United States is at the center of the world order, and specifically in terms of security. And the day, and I, you know, I've been saying this, and I sound like, you know, some kind of a, you know, a hysteric, but I can't help it. You know, the day that Donald Trump is elected to president, everything changes in the whole world. I mean, that is, I am absolutely convinced that the morning after, the world order is no longer what it was, because the United States will be a rogue superpower, having actually elected a megalomaniac who is completely unqualified for the office. And what that says about us, regardless of how much power he has to enact his policies, and he has a lot of power, by the way, in foreign policy and national security, a lot. The president is extremely powerful in that regard.
Right.
That the world changes. And I don't think, you know, this isn't, you don't mess around with this. I mean, you know, we've come perilously close already by having George W. Bush, who was also unqualified, but at least we understood he was part of the system in some way.
Also say that, you know, from as far as like the, you know, our allies and countries around the world were probably like, well, you know, the guy's the son of a president. I mean, he's not like he's right. Like he's a known commodity, you know,
And he'll be surrounded by people,
right,
you know, in the party who know him, and, you know, he'll have hire all the right people. I mean, nobody knows what Donald Trump is going to do. I mean, I think most people assume, and I don't know that it's safe to assume it, that he will rely on the usual suspects because he won't know anything. I mean, look what's happening in his campaign. If a campaign is a sort of window into the way people operate. Trump, you know, he looks at Corey Lewandowski and thinks that he is more qualified he prefers him over professional campaign operatives, and partly because he doesn't want anybody telling him what to do. And this is true. I mean, everything that's within the organization, he does not listen to advice. Mm. And he says this up front. He doesn't look at research. He doesn't care. He watches the shows and reads the papers. And that's the extent of it. He's not going to read briefing books. He's not going to do any of that stuff.
Well, I mean, if you watched his speech yesterday, what it really struck me about, and it was the first, I think, written speech I had seen him deliver. He was using teleprompters, which I thought that was the sign of the devil. But putting that aside, what was amazing to me about that is he was reading things on the teleprompter. I can't remember what the specific lines were, but it was like, President Obama gave Iran, you know, their own oil. Look at the. What? He gave them, like, he's actually reading the speech and reacting to the speech that presumably he's delivering. But he was surprised by the words that he was reading. And, you know, which I think gives a sense of just sort of how much he's willing to sort of get involved or stay on script. But the other thing that struck me this week, too, you know, or I guess it was maybe last week, is when he came out with those 11 names of Supreme Court justices. Clearly, he goes around and does have the ability to say, like, okay, who are the power brokers here? What can I give them? Now, he can give them just about anything, because outside of being president, I don't think he has a particular agenda. And I would guess the next, you know, couple of things that he's going to give away are just going to be about, you know, any of it. I mean, I don't, you know, I think, you know, people who are like, Donald Trump at least is against trade deals. Yeah, give me a break. I got news for you that to the extent that he's against trade deals at this point, I would imagine that's going to be one of the things he just gives away when he needs something else at some other point. Well, God knows what it is. But it's been interesting to see him work in that way. Now, all right, we got to wrap this up, but I want to just quickly get your take on this, because there seems to be a lot of sort of, and I don't want to drag you into a maelstrom, but Bernie Sanders, the potential that he debates Donald Trump. What's your perspective on this? Because, you know, I see people who are supportive of Hillary Clinton getting very upset about this. From my perspective, it makes sense that Hillary Clinton doesn't want to debate Bernie Sanders because she is the front runner, and the front runners avoid doing that all the time. I mean, she agreed to do it at one point. She's not doing it now. I'm not terribly surprised by that. But do you really think that if Bernie Sanders, and I don't know that this is even going to happen, but if Sanders was to debate Trump, it seems to me that's a boon for everybody who is not Donald Trump.
Well, I have no idea. I mean, he's managed to, do fairly well in debates against Republicans. And, you know, I presumably he would not do as well against Bernie Sanders. I would suspect that, you know, Trump would use it as an opportunity to troll Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton on whatever differences exist between Sanders and Clinton, and also talk about the rigged system, which I think would probably not, you know, be to Clinton's benefit or anybody's benefit, to be honest. But, you know, I don't know. My suspicion is that there's no way he wants to do this, because it basically it elevates one of his enemies, and I can't imagine that he would want to do it. Now Bernie could easily raise the $10 million if that was the question. And say, here, you know, we're giving it to whatever the charity is that Trump does it. So the money thing is not going to stop it. Now, I got the impression yesterday that Trump really wanted the networks to put up the money, and they're not going to do that. I mean, that's
By the end of this, he's going to have like, well, I want them actually to deliver it in a different currency, a currency that doesn't exist, one that is going to be developed on a foreign planet. I mean, he's going to come up with all sorts of different...
It's an Bitcoin. It's true.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's going to be fantastic.
Because,
no, I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world if it happens. I mean, you know, I think it's fine. I mean, I'm not, you know, losing any sleep over it, but I am not sure. Again, I do want to say one thing about Clinton's backing off of it. I think one of the main reasons that she did, aside from just being a front runner and saying, you know, I don't need the headache here, let's move on, is the fact that it was Fox News. And I think she knew that what would happen if that debate happened on Fox News, that she was going to get hammered on nothing but, you know, Juanita
right.
Broderick and,
right.
and emails and God knows what else crap they were going to throw at her, which is really not something she needs to be dealing with. So I can understand her
that
perspective.
That part of it does not surprise me, frankly. But I got to say that if I'm in Hillary Clinton's campaign and I think I'm going to the general election, the opportunity to see what Donald Trump looks like in a one-on-one on a one-on-one debate, where, you know, Sanders is going to go full on talking about policy. The idea that, A, Donald Trump would actually have to articulate some policy, where right now all he's doing is trying to just walk away. He's not even walking towards anything. He's just walking away from everything he said in the primary. And the idea that he would have to go up with Bernie Sanders, maybe he could get away without stating any policy. But if he does that, then you see at least how, you know, sort of stylistically, formulaically, how he's going to evade when he thinks he is facing a different constituency than he's faced in the past. I mean, it seems to me like that's the kind of thing, like, this is, you know, this is like Patriots football, right? You want to go and get that videotape of what they're going to do in practice, but you're going to get to see it live. Get some measure of a preview. And I don't know. I mean, I think this is. If I was the Clinton campaign, I would be putting up $5 million right now. Obviously, I wouldn't be doing it publicly, but I would certainly be promoting this because this seems to me to be.
They can't do that. It's against the rules.
Yeah, exactly. it's such a, we just live in, this is such a strange time. I hope it doesn't turn as bleak as it might, but
could.
I'm sure. Always the voice of that's what scares me, is that Digby, I think you are one of the sanest voices out there, and so when you say stuff like that, I think it gets people probably very rationally worried. But we're going to have plenty of time to talk.
It's the most anxious I've been. I just have to jump in. It's true.
We'll have plenty of time to talk between now and move to Canada Day. All right. Digby, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. I want to apologize to those folks on YouTube. We had a little bit of audio difficulties. I think we have resolved them. And just a reminder to our members that we're switching over to a new system. If you're having problems, bear with us. Send us an email. We will work on it for you. We're not going to, you know, fully unveil all of the changes per se. But for our members who are our existing members now, we will hook you up, and we're starting to hopefully migrate to a different payment system than the PayPal that we've been on, because PayPal is there's a myriad of issues that we have with PayPal, not just functional ones.
Peter Thiel is another one.
That's also a great issue. But
we like you, Mr. Thiel. You do great work.
If you if you are right now in our old system and you're still paying with PayPal and you want to change, hold off on sending us an email. We're going to give you that opportunity in the coming weeks. But if you're having a problem with your members feed, maybe you're not hearing this, but you would be able to get the free feed. Also, I want to remind you that Ring of Fire Radio, which is a show I do with Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio. They've been both on cases as of late, so we haven't had as much. But it's a different different type of show. We do a lot more shorter interviews on that program. It's on once a week. You can sign up for the podcast at rofpodcast.com. But Ring of Fire has been nominated for Best News in Politics on podcastawards.com. This show was ineligible because we've won too many times. Dumb rule, not my idea. But be that as it may, starting on Sunday of this week, next week, you can vote every day for Ring of Fire Radio. So head over there and do that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the great Andy Kindler. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, to get a theme song on the Majority Report requires such, this is not something that we do. This is something that people, guests on the show inspire a theme song. We don't have the technology to make theme songs ourselves. And so it has to come from someone from the audience, generally Jimmy Reefer Cake, but not always, who is so inspired by the guest that they write a theme song. This is, so when you hear a theme song on this show, what you're hearing is not just, it's not really a theme song, it's a love song. And I want to play this love song.
With a Jew like Andy Kindler, you know you can't go wrong. His ancestors wrote the God Bless America song. A true Obama bot, and he believes Obama can never be wrong. Yeah, AndyKindler.com. You made me laugh so hard, I had to write you your own theme song. Andy Kindler.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Kindler. Andy, that theme song brings up two things I want to talk to you about. First is, aren't you now a Hillary bot?
I am. I'm all in. I'm all in.
I want to hear you say it.
I love Hillary. I am voting for Hillary. Well, first of all, nothing I say ever sounds sincere. So please don't go by my acting level.
Well, Andy. No, I wanted to get that on record so that come 2016, or I should say 2017, if we need to update the song, we'll just drop that in.
Well, I'm working on my loose cannon. That's all I have so far.
What? This is your Hillary bot voice?
Yeah. By the way, I just want to say, you're Trump. Is dead off. You know what I'm talking about? If you closed your eyes and didn't ever tried to wipe out the memory of Donald Trump's voice and then listened to you do it, you still would be confused.
Well, I will say this, Andy, that part of the reason why I don't do a legitimate Trump is that I don't want to step on Michael's shoes.
You're totally welcome to do a Trump. Go for it.
No, because see, I just do my Alex Jones. And I know that I do that. And so Michael doesn't do an Alex Jones. And so it's called delegation, really. It's basically what it comes down to. It's being a good manager.
It's organizational structure, Andy.
I will put everyone in Trump's concentration camps, and the Jews will pay for the camps.
So that Jesus. Sounds like...
So when Schwarzenegger... Like, is Schwarzenegger? Yes, you're Schwarzenegger,
sort of like
right?
Tony Soprano, I'm like lithium.
To pump you up.
and that sounds like a bad Schwarzenegger. Now, here's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about,
okay.
Andy.
Is this 2 or B?
This is 2B.
That's my new fake laugh.
When did you develop that?
Just before I got on the phone. I hate it. I hate it already. Get her done.
Which one of your family members wrote "God Bless America"?
What is that? You mean Irving Berlin? You mean?
Yeah. Are you related to me? Because Jimmy Reif
came
saying,
"I'm a Jew."
Is that what it was? Like your ancestors wrote?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
my father.
I don't think Irving Berlin would really be your ancestors just because he's Jewish. You'd have to go back a little further, right? Or no?
Right. We have traced our family tree back to Moses. God, I had nothing. I stalled, still came up with nothing.
So, Andy.
I have a great Elijah joke, though.
Oh, it's a little late. We should have spoken to you before Passover.
Oh, Andy. By the way, Sam, I like the way you were talking about the theme song. I thought you were going to do like a PBS fundraiser. If you want to keep hearing these wonderful theme songs,
well, Jimmy Reifcake sometimes calls in and says that.
He does need... I'm willing to pretend to raise money for him.
I got news for you. It's time for you to get off Twitter because you're about to get a tweet storm from Jimmy. So, Andy, speaking of Twitter, okay. I notice that you have someone new in your sights today.
Glenn Greenwald?
That is right. What's going
That's
on?
That's right. I'll tell you exactly. Glenn Greenwald, who you know...
I do.
I've not been a fan of, although we've agreed on the Muslim stuff. He really went too far this time. He claimed... You know your heroes, Mika... the Mika virus Brzezinski.
How's your fake
laugh
go?
Andrea Mitchell... They do this. I didn't even watch. I don't watch Morning Joe anymore because I'm usually asleep and I don't want to aggravate myself. Right. He says that this is the definitive anti-Hillary. If you've never seen anything, he retweets something that Sean King, who I don't know who that guy is, but I blocked him anyway. So he says this is the definitive anti-Hillary, and it's by Andrea Mitchell and Mika Brzezinski, who are definitely not Clinton adversaries. Now that is just wrong. Andrea Mitchell hates Hillary. She bashes her every day. She's the one who does the drip, 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 drip. She's married to your hero, Alan Greenspan. And Mika Brzezinski has been calling Hillary a liar forever, and her and Joe are Trump supporters. So what is wrong? Why is... And that's about as upset as I can get about it now. I was upset before. But what's the matter with Glenn Greenwald?
I mean, do you really I wish I could honestly say that I've watched 60 seconds of either one of them in the past year.
And I've watched it all, unfortunately. That's my addiction. I've watched MSNBC like an idiot every day since the 90s.
Wait a second. How come I rarely hear from you about that? I mean, I was on twice this week, and I heard nothing from you.
I referenced you yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Because...
I muted you a long time ago on Twitter, Andy.
Chris, that's the best move anybody can make. Chris L. Hayes said, ding, 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 Sam Cedar.
Ah, right. I think I did see that. I think
And now I forget what it was in reference to, but it was in reference to the GOP.
Oh, it was in reference to the idea that Donald Trump, the idea of Whitewater. Whitewater.
Well, yeah, the primaries.
Right, right. Yes. It's something the effect of like Whitewater will be very effective in the second Republican primary that Donald Trump has to run, but he's not running one.
And that's why I despise people like Chris Saliza. See, I watch these people too much. Despicable Chris Saliza will slam, they slam and slam Hillary. I don't care whether you're for Hillary or Bernie. They slam Hillary nonstop. And yet, Chris Saliza says, bashing that Trump, quote, saying crooked Hillary, all the stuff he says is smart politics. So when Trump lies, it's smart politics. So I'm telling you, you just have to trust me on this. Mika Brzezinski hates Hillary, and Andrea Mitchell hates Hillary, and Glenn Greenwald doesn't know what he's talking about. So I wish I could make it funny at the end here. Shoes.
Airplane food. Peanuts.
Airplane food. Chicken, beef, or fish? I don't think so. Y2K? Why not 2K? Bicentennial, I'm not sleeping with a guy from America again.
I followed that one a little less.
How about Chris Matthews? You hear Chris Matthews yesterday? Heaping praise. Loves Donald Trump. That guy says you can't catch him, though, because he has 18 opinions every day. And my friend pointed out the funniest part of Chris Matthews' show is that he says the last segment is let me finish. Like he hasn't had a chance to get a word in.
Right.
Let me finish again.
Let him finish.
Let me go again.
Over and over. Yeah, you heard. Let Michael do his Malaya thing for you.
What's her name?
Melania.
Melania.
Oh,
Melania.
My God. It's a spiritual vision made in the flesh. How could something be so visceral and so sublime at the same time? Oh, my God.
I've lost all
faith in humanity.
Hold
it's
on. Here
restored.
It is. You heard this. You heard this, right, Andy? This is the
no.
Oh, you didn't hear this?
Oh, this is incredible.
No, I didn't hear it. Well, you know,
he always claims that he's watching so much MSNBC. He missed everything.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I did miss this. No, you know, I have tried to swear off Hardball for the last...
No, this isn't Hardball. This was
Hardball.
This was the election coverage, I think, I can't remember, a couple of weeks ago, and there was a hot mic.
Oh, yes. That I did hear.
Of course. Of course you heard that. Here we go. Here it is. Hold on.
It has to be the candidate's decision. Has to be thinking somebody who can be the president should something happen to you. And it has to be compatibility. And only the candidate can make
and
that decision.
And the party will trust Trump to be able to make that decision.
Well, I think the party won't have a role in it.
We just heard from the likely nominee of the Republican Party. We will go to a break here.
I can watch that.
The discussion continues right after.
It's been a hard life, and it's just gotten so brutal. My wife's such a pain in the ass, losing her congressional seat, and God has intervened by bringing this celestial angel, restoring my faith in humanity and myself.
All right, Andy, let's listen. I want to listen to some more recent footage. Here is. You don't watch Fox. You watch Fox?
No, I can't do it. Even for fun, even to hate watch.
I'll tell you something. Like I tend to probably watch Fox more than I watch anything else, and I haven't watched much at all as of late. But here is. Let's start with this. We'll start with this one. It's from Greta Van Susteren. Did a Are you ready for this, Andy?
Yeah,
A Meet the Trumps. All right, and so she's talked about, she sort of tiptoed around, Trump's like a rough reputation with women, and she's talking to Malanina. What's her name? What is it? What's
are you joking? Oh, it's
no.
Melania.
Melania. Melania.
Malanina.
Oh my God, it's Malanina. It's my wife. She's amazing.
Okay.
You mean to Maleflua? To Maleflua?
So here is, listen to this hard-hitting question from from Greta Van Susteren.
Donald's got a rough reputation with women. He's got rough language with women. I don't know how else to say it. What do you want to say to that?
I say he treats equally everybody. You're a woman, you're a man. He treats everybody equally. And he will tell you what it's on his heart. So, and he will tell you what he thinks. He doesn't hold back. And he's real. He's a real person.
Is he funny?
He's funny. Has a great sense of humor. He likes to have a good time. And
oh, my. Tell me the difference between that and Andy Kaufman's Foreign Men.
It is, oh my God.
I used an Andy Kaufman reference in the whole studio. I know you're all rolling your eyes at me.
Oh, you kidding?
Old man Kindler, you know, and his old references.
Oh, Andy Kaufman is, I think, probably my number one in the Sam Cedar pantheon. I mean, not so much the work on Taxi, but that's okay.
He didn't like the work on Taxi.
Well, listen, but it's, he didn't after a while, did he?
I don't know. What am I? I read these things. I don't know what I'm reading. But that Greta Van Susteren, she looked like she was scared to even ask the question.
Yeah. Like, let me
heard
just
this stuff about roughness. What's your take?
Yeah, exactly. And no follow up. Let's just ask: is he funny?
Is he funny?
Fun of women who have disabled and men. Everyone.
This is okay. Here is this is also great. This is like an ad for the hotel, right? They shot this. Where they shoot this?
They're touring his new hotel in D.C. on location. And now it just becomes...
Apparently Trump's like Mar-a-Lago has like doubled revenue over the course of his campaign. So here's... I mean, that's the problem is that he's finding this is actually making him money. And here is him walking through the tour. Listen to this. This is clip number 3.
What are you going to have here? A hotel with about how many rooms?
This will be almost 300 rooms. It'll be super luxury. It'll be suites, 2 restaurants, one of the biggest ballrooms in the city and the largest luxury ballroom in the city.
Pause it. Now, Andy, I want to tell you, this is not an ad for the hotel. This is ostensibly a news segment that Greta Van Susteren's doing.
No, I swear to God. I thought this was a commercial.
No, it is not. I swear to God. I started from the beginning.
What are you going to have here? A hotel with about how many rooms?
This will be almost 300 rooms. It'll be super luxury. It'll be suites, 2 restaurants, one of the biggest ballrooms in the city and the largest luxury ballroom in the city. Washington has never had, the hotel people who I love are going to kill me for saying this, but Washington has never had a really luxury hotel. This will be it. This will be the most luxurious hotel in the United States, easily.
Who is this?
This is Melania, my wife. What a first lady. She would be the all-time first lady.
Do you think you would like to be first lady?
Well, it's too early to say.
He's wild man, isn't he?
He is. He's fantastic. What he does, it's unbelievable. His energy, his passion, and for this country and for everything what he does.
Is it safe to say Donald is never dull?
Yes, he's never dull.
What news segment has music that's like, I got the butt, the trump, booga, boom, bang, bang, the trick, the trank, the trank, trank?
It's insane. It's insane.
But what are we looking at here? Big, booga, chaka, chang, chank.
We could. I bet you if somebody tracked that music down, that's probably like the title of it. It's like one of those like sort of like industrial packages, like upbeat sales. You know, it's probably the name of that. That song.
Apartments.
He's a wild man, isn't he?
Oh my God, it's my wife. She's in the hallway. I didn't even know she was here. It's a total surprise.
This is totally impromptu.
Totally.
Too soon to say.
It is too soon to say.
Oh, God.
It is too early to say.
I hate his whole family. I really do. You know, I called the Trump kids. I said, one son I tweeted, which one is Kuday and which one is Usay? I probably got those name wrongs.
Well, speaking of Trump's family, they wrap up the entire infomercial, news segment. The entire news segment on the Greta Van Susteren program is wrapped up by talking about Trump's views of his very own family. Here it is.
It's going to get probably pretty rugged, I imagine, between the two of them, if they're both the candidates.
Yes, we will see.
And that's okay with you?
That's okay with me. It's nothing personal. It's all business.
And coming up, Donald Trump's thoughts about his family. That's next.
The relationship with all of my children and Melania has been amazing. It's been perfect.
Thank you for being with us for this On the Record special, Meet the Trumps. Tell me what you think about.
There it is, the Meet the Trumps.
He needs an adjective workshop more than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
Well, apparently it's a very effective with the American public. I mean, that thing is that is what, ladies and gentlemen, is called native advertising. where you cannot tell the difference between the advertisement and the actual product.
Who watches that serious? I mean, I know who does watch that. Who watches that and goes, did you see that? I'm watching Fox. They have a really hard hitting. They really get to the bottom of the whole Trump family.
We report. You decide. That's basically. They treated him pretty fairly. They treated him fairly.
I thought it was fair to an extent.
And what about these press conferences? Like yesterday, I really was screaming at the top of my lungs. Katie Tour, who is basically a Trump PR spokeswoman, how come no one's asking, except for that one Native American person, was asking him questions yesterday? Does he not allow certain press in? I mean, I can't figure it out.
It is, I think there is, look, everybody wants this gig. Everybody wants, all of these reporters, they want to be covering Donald Trump. And, you know, soon we're going to start hearing the stories of Donald Trump, he sends back to the press reporters covering his stuff. He sends back escargot and, you know, Chateaubriand, whatever. I mean, and we're going to start hearing those stories I'm convinced of it, that the journalists on the campaign trail with Trump are like, this is great. And they don't want to get booted off that gig. You don't want to be on the bad side. I mean, look at what he did to Susana Martinez, the governor of New Mexico. If you're a reporter, I imagine it's even worse, right? I mean, they're shoving their own reporters, the Breitbart people.
Oh, man. I don't know. I just feel sometimes like journalism is getting worse.
Hold on for a second. You want to say that again? Breaking news.
I don't know. Sometimes I just feel that journalism may be getting worse.
We'll be back.
This is not your father's journalism.
That's right. Oh, boy.
I mean, it makes Jeannie Most look hard-hitting. Am I right, fellas? Jeannie Most.
That's exactly why he did it. Michael was like, I don't know that reference. Yes, it was a long time ago.
Classic Kimba.
Oh, man. When you were talking to Digby, is that who you were talking to before?
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe. I mean, it's unbelievable that, the false equivalence and treating him. Have you ever seen Don Lemon anything?
Yeah.
Have you seen him say anything?
Don Lemon's a little bit disturbing.
Weekend anchor Don Lemon. That's what I call him all the time on Twitter.
All right. So what else? So what else have you been doing? Is this it? Basically, are you wrapping up your career? Just going to spend 24/7 on watching cable news?
I'm sure I'm using my Twitter account perfectly, because I'm sure people would want to see me in a club
what
would
is
just love me 18, 19 hours a day, ripping apart people they've never heard of. And you know what they said? Hey, do you like strident comedy? Come see Andy Kindler. Hey, do you like a guy who seems not to have punchlines but is very angry? Come on down and see Andy Kindler. I hope I cut back.
Do you?
I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Do you get people who say like, you know, I guess that would be rare. Do you get people who say like, you know, I follow you on Twitter and I don't like you there, but I like to see you in the clubs? Or I mean, I guess.
Well, no, I get a lot of people, and you know, I understand it's always good advice, but I always take it the worst way possible. Why don't you turn it off if you don't like it? If you don't like it, just turn it off. And also, I do tweet hilarious jokes and observations, too. It's not like I'm not still at the top of my game. But people mostly get upset with me for just talking about politics at all. But nobody says, I think there are people, I don't know, what is there, 12 people total have seen me? So 8 of them don't like my Twitter feed. And the other 4, if there's something else going, if the circus is in town, they're not showing up.
That's what's great about your audience is that it's very easy to get data on them.
Yeah, that's right. Because there's very
not
few.
Unwieldy.
Of course, I'm joking. I'm huge, and I make a joke. It's self-deprecating because I'm so huge. That's why it's funny.
Michael just IM'd me one of your great Twitter jokes. Many ladies don't fully understand what mansplaining is.
I pinned that tweet. Pinned it.
Did you pin it?
And so many. And what's amazing is how many people did not get the joke. And then,
right.
I'm angry. I'm arguing with an angry. I'm trying to explain to a very angry lady why it's a joke.
But they get hysterical, don't they? Those ladies.
Oh, depending on the time of the month, what are they ovulating?
It's always that time of the month on Twitter, am I right?
Oh,
hey,
God.
Wouldn't want a you wouldn't want a lady president, am I right, fellas? Because there's always that one day every month. Oh my God, I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to blow up Cuba.
Can I ask Andy one question? And
sure,
I mean this
just one question. Just one question.
All right, a two-part one question.
Mm-mm.
I understood why you liked Obama. Just personally.
Thank you. You're welcome, as they say, as the kids say.
Why do you like Hillary? Because you've been with. I mean, I get, of course, compared to Trump, but like we've been with her from the beginning. Why?
Because I was very disappointed in Bernie's campaign, and I don't think that she's the lesser of two evils. I don't like her as much as I like Obama. But
of course
here's
not.
Here's an honest, truthful statement that I will say. I am very distressed by the fact that how do we know what the hell is true about anything? Well, you don't really think Hillary killed Vince Foster, right? So what is it of all the 30 years? I know people just don't personally like her, but what is it about all these 22 years of scandals should you buy? I feel like the email thing is the most ridiculous non-issue. It's completely phony. Who cares? And anybody who argues to me that it's some big thing is, unless they're a Trump person, I find it disturbing that people would be seizing on the, like Bernie people seizing on the email thing. But I mean, I'm not going to say that I don't get why people don't like her, but I really don't. I know, Michael, you want Trump. It's Bernie or bust for you. But I don't. I think she's very intelligent.
Over. Everything is
she's very
done.
Intelligent.
Yeah, she's very intelligent.
And what is it? What's your big fear that she'll do, except for the stuff that Obama does that you don't like?
Well, I'm not Bernie or bust, but I mean, I think that there's a difference between being a speed bump to progress versus being a atom bomb to progress. So I'll vote for her over Trump.
Yeah, and that's the kind of way I may end up making that exact speech at Hillary fundraiser. Look, people. You have to vote. What are you going to do, not vote? Hillary is a shillery. Am I right? Right? I don't know. Here's the other thing I will say truthfully. I couldn't stand the campaign she ran in 2008. I hated that Mark Penn guy. I thought she ran a terrible campaign, and I do not think she's run a terrible campaign this time. But I will admit that I want her to win, so I'm probably deluded.
Yeah, I mean, you were an Obama bot in 2008, so anybody running against Obama, you'd have a problem with.
Maybe you should clarify to your listeners that I am not really an android. I am a human being, because I think some people think that I come with a control panel.
I actually have an Andy Kindler soundboard. Actually,
hey, can I do a Lost in Space
one.
Reference?
Yeah, of course. We've been waiting for
what
that.
That does not compute. I don't even know if that's the right movie.
Danger. Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger. Danger, Will Robinson.
Well, it's very un-robot-like that Andy seems to kind of, in some ways, pick his candidates based off of really kind of punishing the people who don't like her, in some ways. Yeah.
You know what? I'm very real politique. You know what's the term I hate, though? I hate it like poison, because it's used against people who defend Muslims, is the regressive left thing. I'm so tired of all these neoliberal regressive left. I know that Sam makes a lot of money patenting these expressions, but they drive me crazy. That's why I blocked that Sam Rubin guy. It's regressive left if you don't.
John Rubin.
No, Sam Rubin. No, what's his name?
Sam Harris.
Sam Rubin.
Sam Harris.
The guy from Channel 5. I'm sorry.
Sam Harris.
No, who's the Rubin guy? The Rubin
Report. Dave Rubin.
That's right, Dave Rubin. Sam Rubin, please follow me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, the regressive left thing is a really, for me, when someone uses that, it is basically like them saying, I'm a moron. that's basically what that translates. Neoliberal is a specific. I think there's a lot of people who misuse it in many respects, but it is just this idea that the market is the best way to address every one of society's problems.
Right, right. I don't agree with that.
Well, of course you don't.
I agree with. I like private enterprise. You know what's amazing, Sam? If you really dug, I would say a millimeter under my surface, you would see such a lack of information, knowledge.
No, I don't think that's true. I think I know.
I'm underselling it. I do know kind of what I'm talking about.
You do. I definitely think so. And you are incredibly entertaining about it.
Is this one of those wrap-up lines? I love that.
Andy Kindler, you're a national...
And that's why we love to have you on Friday.
You're a national... wait a second. You're a national treasure. And let's play this game, okay?
Okay.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to play. We should do this every time you come on.
Yes.
We're going to, if you hashtag at Majority FM right now, ladies and gentlemen, and you have been blocked by Andy Kindler, we will nominate you to be unblocked. One lucky Twitterer. We'll have the opportunity, if they tweet right now, at Majority FM?
Yep, at Majority FM,
let's put it that way. At Majority FM, forget this hashtag crap. We're not going to engage in that. At Majority FM, you can nominate yourself to be the one person we will choose today for Andy to unblock you. Now, we should say, the legal disclaimer, just because he unblocks you doesn't mean he's not going to block you again. And it doesn't mean he's not going to block you again after the first thing you tweet at him. So, you know, be judicious.
We want to go for the first one that we've gotten.
We're bringing you back to life.
Well, but where that am I going to find this?
What? We will send it to you and the guy.
Okay, beautiful.
So Michael, who is the candidate that we have today that you are nominating?
This is at Bertelmecht, and I'm just because he's the first one who came in, and that's where he's at, and he just says... please, majority, hashtag unblock me, Andy, which I like, because everybody else just has pick me or unblock me. But I think unblock me, Andy, could become its own trending hashtag.
But I mistakenly, I also block people out of because of peak.
Just, yeah, okay. Well, that's all right. That's fine. So So
do what you feel.
Andy, will you unblock Berthold Mecht? We'll send you a link. And,
yes.
But now with the warning, oh, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There we've got a winner. We've got a winner. We've got a winner. Unbelievable. Look at, like, you are, it's like, you are like sort of one of, like, the kind, benevolent king who every year comes down from the castle, walks amongst the peasants and says, you will eat today.
I think of it as pardoning a turkey.
There you go. That doesn't mean that turkey can't go back out into the wilderness and get shot by another hunter. So,
why don't you ever just mute people, Andy? I mean, there's something satisfying about that.
I have been muting. I've been muting more recently.
I did that with regressive left people because they just tweet endlessly, and then they don't have the satisfaction of knowing that they've gotten to you.
That's right.
Muting is more mature.
It really is more mature. It is more mature. Yeah.
And I'm very immature, but I'm getting better, though, I hope.
Well, Andy, I don't see how you could be getting better because you're so good already.
Well, I love you, Sam. I love you, Michael. This is great. And I hope to meet everybody on the crew one of these days.
Oh, yeah. You know, next time you're in New York, buddy.
In studio.
I don't want to have to find out that you were in New York by, you know, looking at like breadcrumbs on Twitter, all right?
Come into
no,
studio.
No, this would be great.
All right.
I can't believe it. All right, man.
See you soon.
I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Kindler, ladies and gentlemen. What a treat. All right. I guess we're going to do a Freebie Friday. We'll go to what do we got? Do we got a Jimmy Reef cake this week? It sounds like Matt was just too caught up in that echo that we had on YouTube. I don't think we have one. All right, we'll take some calls. The number's 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920 is the number, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of the program. And we have some IMs that we can take. But before we get there, you know, I wanted to... we got to play this. Ladies and gentlemen, we have tried to make sense of Representative Louis Gohmert. And after a tremendous amount of study and research, taking clips of his to various scientists for analysis, linguists, we've come up with the same answer. There's just no explaining this guy. I think really the most viable answer is that he is a Russian plant from Soviet days. And we still have a little bit. Do we ever animate that, the Gomericans? We definitely have the logo. And we should use that that logo. But earlier, was it today? Yes. Representative Louis Gohmert, Republican from Texas, on the House floor, trying to promote, you know, they've run out of they're not getting the electoral mileage out of being anti-gay. So they are really trying to make it like the idea that you would allow a kid who through, I would imagine, and I think that it's not hard to imagine, an incredible amount of distress and pain, difficulty within and without that kid's family, about trying to come to terms with the fact that their gender is different than that in which they were born with, or I guess associated with at birth. And the idea that these kids, and it's not, it's a long process before kids are allowed to go into a bathroom that is different from the gender that they, again, were assigned as a child. I'm not sure the details off the top of my head, but, you know, it's an involved process. It's not like the kid can show up one day and say, I'm
feeling
a boy.
Different today.
Yeah, I'm a boy, I'm a girl.
See,
that's not the way
the
that it
bathroom.
Works.
No.
And so it's so enraging to these people that in some way you would accommodate kids on this level, that they have to take to the floor of the Congress to make total arses out of themselves and spout utter nonsense like this. But maybe they're just trying to be amusing. Here's a Representative Louie Gohmert.
But educated people said, that's perverse. That's basically the most widely used, where the word perverse was most widely used. And now we have a government.
Stop it. I want to say what you will about Louie Gohmert, okay? Maybe he's a bigot, maybe he's whatnot. But I think we can all agree, the guy is a complete moron.
And now we have a government that says, forget what the Bible says, forget what Moses said, forget what Jesus said when he quoted Moses verbatim and then added, and what God has joined together, nobody should separate.
Pause.
Even if you...
I'm quite sure, without having read the Bible in a long time, that that was not Jesus quoting Moses verbatim, and I don't believe that was a verbatim quote of that made-up quote that is attributed to Jesus either. Go ahead.
Even if you don't believe Jesus was part of the Holy Trinity, as our founders did, do you really want to leave this life and potentially, whether you believe in a judge, a maker or not, say, oh, I didn't think you were serious when you said those things about marriage. I didn't think you were serious. You just weren't smart enough to know that he didn't just email. I mean, I really wonder how many people in this body who had the ultimate power to decide whether humanity would go forward or not, whether it was an asteroid coming, something that would end humanity on Earth as dinosaurs were ended at one time. Okay, we've got a spaceship that can go, as Matt Damon did in the movie, plant a colony somewhere. We can have humans survive this terrible disaster about to befall. If you could decide what 40 people you put on the spacecraft that would save humanity, how many of those would be same-sex couples? You're wanting to save humankind for posterity. Basically, a modern-day Noah. You have that ability to be a modern-day Noah. You can preserve life. How many same-sex couples would you take from the animal kingdom and from humans to put on a spacecraft to perpetuate humanity and the wildlife kingdom? That's why it's been called part of the natural law.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Look, Louis, we heard your speech on the floor, and maybe just back off just a little bit on the spaceship analogy.
That maybe not, overselling.
Just a little bit. I think maybe do, I don't know, maybe not so much the Martian thing. I think it's not, maybe it's time you take a little vacation. Maybe Jesus, there's too much pressure.
Jesus with Moses verbatim is wrong, but no one is going to hold you accountable for this. But then space colony ship, we are getting ridiculous now.
A lot of people saw The Martian. So I don't know. if that makes so much sense. But it's
critically acclaimed film vehicle with Matt Damon, who's underrated actor.
I really do think that if you have to, if you have to get to the thought experiment involving the spaceship and the meteorite and the modern day Noah, maybe it's not so relevant to people.
But just start losing audience with that level. It is, how can something be so stupid and so complicated at the same time?
You think, but you think about taking a day off. Think about taking a day off.
Where you say, comrade?
Hi, man. I just thought that the whole Noah thing is just try and refute it. I mean, what if we have to go to a different planet and start a new human race? These allowing transgender kids into the bathroom is going to prohibit us from getting on the spaceship.
Oh, no. It is like Donnie Brasco. He is not deep cover anymore. He is becoming what he is imitating. It is method acting. It's very dangerous. I think Phoenix on Twitter has the final word on this, at Phoenix Art. This is like a cross between a Dennis Miller bit and a Thomas Friedman column.
Gotta say, if Louis Gohmert did not exist, we would probably have to create him.
And then say, that's not credible.
I know.
just a little. And he looks like Elmer Fudd, too. Come on, stop being so cliche.
Unbelievable. Let's go to the IMs, ladies and gentlemen. In the sticks, Trump's Pocahontas remark not going over well with natives in Montana. Keep in mind, when Obama came here, the elders of the Crow tribe gave him a name. You did not see the natives in Billings yesterday for Trump. In Montana, natives are the biggest minority, and the congressman who introduced Trump yesterday is running against Dennis Juno, who's a Blackfeet woman for Congress. Denise Juno. Wow. Oh, we do have a Jimmy song? Oh, let's play it.
It's called Democratic Party Failure.
Mm.
Hoping the FBI can charge Hillary with her crime. Cause I'm bracing myself for the most devastating Democratic Party failure of all time. Even worse than Bush beating Kerry after starting the Iraq War in 2004. I don't know, but all I know is losing seems to be what the Democratic Party is for. Yeah, just another Democratic Party failure in the making. The presidency could be Donald Trump's for the taking. Thanks to folks like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and all the Democratic Party bigwigs, Hillary's negatives are only empowering all the chauvinist pigs. Well, I'm not scared, and I refuse to toe the party line.
Tell me why.
No, no, no.
Why?
But if you can't convince me on the issues, then that's fine.
Why?
Then that's fine.
Hillary, tell me, baby.
Number one, legalize marijuana. Number two, stopping all the wars.
Tell me, Hillary.
Number three, no more hypocrisy, and the banks is number four.
That's tell me, right. Hillary.
I said, number one,
tell me, Hillary. Why, Hillary?
Number two, stopping all the wars.
Won't you tell me, Hillary?
Number three, no
bank
more
bail and
democracy,
bail
and
the
banks is number four.
Why?
Okay. I don't want to get too carried away.
Even before ending war? I've just got to say, I mean, you could at least connect those two
well,
things.
Well, the implication is that if everybody, you know, if everybody's smoking pot, there's not going to be any wars.
What's the implication? But maybe it's a
stretch. It's a stretch. It's a little bit of stretch.
Bob Marley made it sound better.
Here's why I thought, you know, musically, I give that song a very high grade.
Back to
I thought
form.
It was great. But I got to say that there's sort of an internal. There seems to be an internal contradiction there. And that internal contradiction is, look, he's mad because the Democrats are going to blow it. At the same time, he's not going to
participate in them blowing it.
And he's going to actually help Trump win. And presumably, if he's mad that the Democrats are blowing it, why would he help? I mean, if he's mad at the Democrats blowing it, then obviously he thinks it's better to have Democrats in the office.
You're not smoking enough weed.
But I don't know. Well, which one do you think that Trump is going to be best on? Pot, war, hypocrisy?
He might be kind
of, banks.
I would say, transcendent on the hypocrisy issue. So maybe hypocrisy. Like, he's so beyond the realm of
It's not possible for him to be hypocritical.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, would you even ever even consider that and all the things?
Like the only thing he could be hypocritical is just like, that guy's so bald.
Yeah.
Like, covering up his bald spot.
No, because he actually would say stuff like that. Maybe be like, that guy has a $70,000 weave that he elaborately hides from the public and pretends to pull on, and that the weave company had an office in the building that that guy owned because he was a trust fund baby.
I'll tell you
that
something.
That might be
Here's the nickname. This is what Clinton should do. Or Bernie, for whatever it is. But I don't see Bernie doing this as much. But maybe the best thing would be, like, for someone to, a big surrogate or whatever, any Democratic talking point person. Donald Trump, the way that he bobs and weaves when it comes to issues, it's just, we should just call him Weavy Trump. Weaving Trump. Don the Weave.
He weaves on the issues.
They should just keep saying that.
Like, he weaves his head.
Don the Weaver.
Don the Weaver.
What about Don Weaver? Wasn't Don Weaver like the coach of the Baltimore Orioles?
This is Don Weaver. Oh, wait. Fuck.
I didn't mean to say
that.
Got
me. This is John Miller, not Don Weaver. My whole world's going to crumble around me.
In the sticks, Trump Toronto is actually down 60% year-over-year sales. Well, I have no doubt that in foreign countries outside of the U.S., people are like, ugh, God, now we know who this guy is. But in this country, sadly. Matt Hack, wonder what George Allen thinks of all this Pocahontas business. Live in Lemon World, Brad and Thor, Glenn Beck, discuss who should kill President Trump. Brad Thor and Glenn Beck. Oh, my God.
Really?
Well, check that out. Beck Blitz. What? I don't know what the heck that is.
Beck Blitz is just snippets of his show.
I see. Brilliant Bilbo. How is it that Republicans have not been crucified by Democrats because of things like the Zika virus and stuff before? John Stewart managed to do it a few times. This is why I get the feeling often that Democrats love the Republicans, and in reality is a good cop, bad cop game. Am I wrong, or are half Americans devoid of morals? I mean, I don't know what's going on. Like, the only place I've seen that Zika virus stuff was basically via Digby's blog. It's shocking to me.
There was one little write-up in Huffington Post, and honestly, if you really want to cover that, if you want to follow it, you got to go to, like, BBC World Service.
Wow.
That's who's covering
Zika. Yeah, but
virus.
I'm not saying, like, covering the, broadly speaking, the fact that we can't get funding in this country.
Nobody.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Missouri Blues, have you told the Vegas trip casino war story yet? I think I did, right? About Mike Reynolds? I did. Amkavoy, I've been thinking a lot about Drumpf's weave. Do you think a bird of prey would be trained to swoop down and snatch it? Danny, am our listeners know of, about a falcon?
Yeah, I think that's why he freaked out so much when he was shooting the spot in his office. Do you remember that? The falcon came at him, and I think that's the falcon was like...
It was called Uncle Sam. Wasn't it a bald eagle?
Yeah, it was a bald eagle, yeah. I thought. Yeah, and he was like, the eagle was like, there's something wrong here.
Idaho Joe. Hi, Sam. Just became a member.
Zika virus. Just thought that's funny.
I noticed Home Movies was getting a lot of love yesterday, and I was wondering if you heard about Brendan Small being told no by Hulu for a fifth season of Metalocalypse. You know what? I haven't heard from Brendan in ages. He's out in LA, and I didn't know anything about that. Emma. The interview about Extinction with Ashley Dawson was just outstanding. I never regret my membership to this program. Best money spent each month. Also, thanks to Matt for playing that new Caveman song. I've had it on a loop ever since.
It's a great song.
The Roosevelt. Please tell Andy that I loved and wished I could have seen more of him in Maria Bamford's new Netflix show. XOXO Smiley Face. The Real Rudy. Andy's calls are always very funny, but the idea that Andrea Mitchell has been anti-Hillary is just bizarre. Mika is another story. Bertold Mecht. Seriously, next time Kindler's on, ask him if he thinks whether Democrats bear any blame for Trump owing to the neoliberal shift. Maybe you'll get blocked on Twitter and called a hack, too. For what it's worth, I'd kill to be a hack. I mean, it would mean I'd be paid for my dick jokes and lefty screeds. And then all of a sudden, he's down. Bertold Mecht won the award today. Pot. Trump will be best on pot for Jimmy Reefercake stance. I don't think that's the case. Because his attorney general will be Chris Christie.
Well, yeah, I don't understand how anybody could convince themselves of that. Chris Christie has like the pot views of like the that hard
Anslinger.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for.
Of those four, though, well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to be bad on all of them, frankly. I don't think, frankly, that the I don't think that Democrats bear any blame for Trump. No, I think look, if anything, I think the causality is not I don't think is right here. I think that Democrats, well, I mean, look, they didn't have to go in that direction, but I think that they went to the right because I think the Republicans went to the right. I mean, there's a lot of different sort of responses to that, but I don't think the Democrats, I think that's a complete misreading of what's going on.
E.J. Dionne Jr.'s Where the Right Went Wrong is a good book on that.
All right. Do I not agree with Thomas Frank's assessment of the Dems' inability to be a party of labor concerns? No, I agree with that assessment. But I don't think that necessarily means I don't think there's any evidence that Donald Trump's success is rooted in the fact that the Democrats are not addressing labor concerns. I just don't. I don't see any evidence of it. I mean, I don't think there's even evidence within the Republican Party that his support is coming from what you would consider labor. And it's certainly not on those grounds. I mean, I'm sorry. I think the trade stuff, I think that's getting him some votes, but I think it's completely overblown. I think it's completely overblown. He didn't get his big bumps from trade speeches. Are you kidding me? No, it was nativism. It was sort of anti-PCism. I'm sorry.
And in fact, I would add to that that he, along with, I guess, Pat Buchanan was like this too, because Pat Buchanan opposed things like NAFTA. He validates the garbage propaganda of people like Thomas Friedman, who've always tried to make the case that opposing these awful deals is actually just some type of narrow thinking, isolationism, or nationalism. And in the way he's talked about those trade agreements, he's actually done what the pro-trade propagandists have said.
Well, when he talks about deregulation, I mean, what is he, you know, what?
Oh, yeah, well, that's a whole other, I mean.
But I mean, that's what, you know, when
banks,
we talk.
That's completely incoherent.
Well,
right?
But he's talking about just deregulation in general. That was what his whole speech was yesterday. His whole speech was about, we need to deregulate the oil industry and the energy industry so they can exist, you know, but instead we've got environmentalists doing this and this and that. And then 3 minutes later, he's talking about how we can't have wind turbines because it's going to hurt the little birdies. I mean, does anybody not see the sort of contradiction there?
No.
The reason why the bird, you know, I mean, I don't know. Borat. Michael's impression of Melania Trump sounds like me. I say we make that a thing. Ducking Donald is right there in front of you. Millet and Apathy. I predict on election night, Trump will refuse to concede. Oh, he just won't show up. Yeah. Ears. Hi, Sam. Digby claims Zika is a deadly disease just so there's no undue paranoia for anyone not still in the womb out there. 80% of the people who contract Zika have no symptoms. For the other 20%, the vast majority of cases of disease not go beyond feeling like a mild flu and symptoms end after 4 or 5 days. It's dangerous to fetuses, so CDC recommends a male partner use a condom for at least 6 months after symptoms start. And pregnant females should use plenty of strong insect repellent if ever in an area with known Zika cases, even considering staying indoors. Fair enough. Thank you. DX Fools. Hi, guys. Why didn't you touch on Kelly's?
I'm pretty sure that that Zika can also, in rare cases, cause paralysis of some kind. So it's not not deadly, but the infection.
Not healthy.
The infection. Well, no, paralysis is definitely not healthy.
No.
No.
Hi, guys. Why didn't you touch on important issues like Kindler's remembrances of the late Doris Roberts? Or what you and Sarah Silverman discussed while you two were at NBC yesterday. I didn't run into Sarah there. Or the renewed interest in the album Melina and the infinite sadness since Billy Corgan came out as a right-winger. Great leap forward. Have you seen the photos of Trump's wife, Melanoma, standing on Trump's plane in a thong and knee-length boots holding a pistol? Do you think the Dems will go after her first lady credibility? Surely they must. I don't think that's appropriate, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Nice picture.
I mean,
I'm making nice. He is strong, man.
I mean, I just don't think that that's.
What's the payoff to demonizing Melania Trump from a like? I don't understand what why people would think.
The
that
only
that's
thing I would do.
The
only thing that I would do is, if I was, I don't know that you know. I don't know who's best to carry this message. But it's not. It does seem possible to me that you know you'd have someone like James Carville up there saying, you know, the way he talks about Bill Clinton, would it be appropriate if we made a point of a Melina Trump coming out there and wearing a you know nothing but a G-string and carrying a pistol on his plane? Like, come on, we wouldn't do that. You know, it's got to be one of those deals, right? Where like this is something, and it's only something you'd want to do on CNN, right? Because you know, this is for like Christian conservatives.
You know, the only interesting point I finally read that I think it was in that article that the GQ article about Melania Trump, but I could be wrong. But somebody made the point that actually once you kind of get past like some old pictures of her or whatever, the whole like you know all the mail order bride jokes and everything. The way she talks about him and relates to him and plays her role is quite in line with, you know, the kind of subservient position that, you know, a lot of evangelical voters actually want. So it hasn't in any way harmed him with those constituents, obviously, in the primary, for the people that are open to him to begin with.
Right. Although, tell it to Utah.
Well, they're
problematic. The other day, another Jason from St. Louis messaged you. How many are of this, of there? How many of us are there? By my count, 3. So who gets to captain the Argo? I mean, look, all I can tell you is that, you know, if you're in St. Louis, you would know better than I. Other mailmen. Only thing I can't stand more than the regressive left term is people calling others cucks. Hector. Andy Kindler is such a treat on Fridays. No wonder he does so much animated work. All his laughs are great. Bush 7-11. Read Trump-Bernie debate. We need a president who knows the best debate tactic is to lull your opponent into a false sense of security by falling asleep. Dr. Ben or bust? Pete and Westchester. We don't need to worry about that time of the month for Hillary. We all know she's dead down there. Oh, that's very sweet. Leon Gettins. Echo, echo, echo. Bad enough to have to listen to you once. Okay. Does a third party have any chance during this election cycle? No. If so, which one? None. Leon the Londoner. No. Our system just doesn't work that way. Petrus, how ironic that Clinton excuses herself for using a private email server in part by citing concerns that her private email will remain private. She voted for the Patriot Act twice. So it appears that she believes that we are not entitled to that same privacy. Are we to believe that the government that created today's NSA also gave us a technologically unsophisticated State Department incapable of overseeing secretary and her staff? I'm disappointed that you don't take Clinton to task on the email issue and inevitable tap dancing with the truth earlier. Maybe it's your intention to leave that to her opponents, or you believe that discussion would be unproductive to the progressive cause. Either way, here we are, and it's a mess. It only get worse. So what is, I mean, in all honesty, people keep, sending me tweets like, this is huge, and what, you know, like, it is quite clear to me that if a low-level State Department person did this, that particularly this administration would punish them. I don't know exactly what the charge would be in this instance. I don't know if there would be criminal charges. But we've seen this time and time again in terms of, you know, Petraeus. Look at David Petraeus got off very lightly relative to folks like Thomas Drake. David Petraeus willfully, consciously, purposely gave very top secret, knowingly top secret information. I think he gave the names of CIA agents to his girlfriend who was writing a book about him to impress her. Okay? And he got off virtually scot-free. I don't know what it is that, I mean, can someone, I know Doug has convinced that there's some violations. The FBI is investigating. I am perfectly willing to accept the fact if the FBI comes back and says there's a criminal complaint. But beyond that, like, you know, all of this is just sort of speculation and conjecture. I just don't understand, like, what theoretically am I supposed to be doing here? Bob Flave. I'm sure the person that has to work three jobs to support his family was so glad that he can hear you can use any bathroom at job number two. Not sure I follow that. You, the only thing Louis Gohmert is a representative is the case against dropping your children on their heads. Matt and the BK. Earl Weaver. Thank you. I'm thinking of Don Zimmerman. Why is Gohmert not already on the ticket with Trump? Louie, can't we just use the DeLorean? Born Blue. Majority Report is my daily dose of sanity. You, Mike, Kelly, and the new Matt, especially when he plays Bowie cuts. I'm a Cedarista. It's my 52nd birthday today. Grateful for your voices of humor and general reason. Just wanted to say thank you. You're welcome. Dave in Gohmert for VP. I think we got something started here. Nerod 33. Republicans have to understand stupid exists. They're masters of it. Now the servant has become the master. Doe Link. Don't presidents have to give up certain businesses and investments before being sworn in? I don't know that that's the case.
Not things like hotels.
Blind trust.
Yeah, you can, and blind trust for investments, but I don't think that would... I mean, maybe he would like push foreign delegations to stay at the hotel or something.
I don't know what the laws are on that.
I actually don't know. And the blind trust thing, is that a legal thing or is that just custom?
For lawmakers, I think it is to a certain extent, but yeah. I'm not sure in terms of present. Homer, 3D, you could only send 40 people to save the human race. You send all women and a lot of sperm. Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, but who would these women cook for? Oh, I guess their children. That's exactly right. But assuming there was no electricity on the spaceship, then how would you keep the sperm alive? Very narrow path. We need a Toto pulling back the curtain weave moment. Facing the crowd, hot mic moment. Mitt Romney, 47%. Weave Ghazi. Jimmy Reefer Cake. Theme song talk today was great. Thanks, man. Did you get the new song for this week? It is on point. Oh, we played it, I think, since you said. Hey, JS, I just want to use this opportunity to say congratulations to Gucci Mane and Guapa Trap God, a.k.a. The Machine, on getting out of prison today. Bull Prague, that new Jimmy song was a reprise of the Andy Kindler song. NYK upstate. Looks like the unions and Verizon settled. They signed a 4-year contract. Oh, that's great. I hope it's good for the union. A Square MR crew, thanks so much for sending out a long weekend with Digby and Andy. Gomer bit, although I, like Mike, I was concerned more. Digby parting message in tone. Enjoy the long weekend. Kelly is right. Syndrome called Guillain-Barré includes paralysis. B. Donald Trump is every car dealer that sold you a lemon. Alex B. Hey, did you guys get my email about a busted podcast feed? I download episodes and get 1 kilobyte files. We will get to those emails. Send us your receipt for your membership, and we will be able to handle it from there. BBLP. I had my wife's relatives from Trinidad laughing and pitting us for Trump. My wife is renewing her citizenship and getting our getting for our two sons. We may be on our own coming up for the Trump apocalypse. Wayne Lynch. If the Trump-Sanders debate actually happens with dwindling momentum behind Clinton, I can see this being an event that thrusts Sanders into prominence. Clay Delicious. Became a member about a month ago. Can I get a shofar, pretty please? Of course. Trump fans, you should have Andy and Isabel Gillies on the show together. It would be very cozy. Charleston, I tweeted Trump. She said said he looks scared to debate Bernie. Mailman, Sam, why all this talk about how bad PC is? I much prefer them over Mac. Bondicant.
Seriously.
Trump's anti-trade position is an extension of his nativism nationalism. Just like Michael said, everyone in the world who isn't American is out to screw Americans, especially the Chinese. Jay Tingle, everyone at MR, best wishes for a fulfilling holiday weekend. Get outside, be part of the world. Also, don't forget my CWA brothers and sisters at Verizon. Yeah, lay off Milena, but by all means attack his rampant spawn, Donald Trump Jr., and let's be vicious about it. Oh, yeah, on Monday, we're taking the day off.
It's true.
Calling from 619, the best debate with Trump would be a debate with no audience participation, with no immediate feedback. Trump will crumble. Potbelly, is Andy Kindler ever dull? Never. Never. Luke Kane, 6'5". Does Michael play a guitar or other instrument? I'm trying to start a politically charged jam band with a rotating celebrity vocalist and need his Mandela and Clinton impressions. Lefty Uno, my Bernie voice. I'm sick and tired of hearing about these goddamn emails. Eric 2-2, I predict Trump will win, but still, Dr. Ben or bust. Priya, did Andy Kindler actually answer why he supports Hillary? I just heard an irritation with her critics and that she's smart. Well, maybe it's the smart. Regardless of her flump, if Trump were elected, he'd not only be catastrophic as an executive, but I mean the Republicans control all three branches of government. Also can't stand how horrible Dems are with messaging. What do you think about Howard trying to do wacko Donald, which is horrible? I know, they are bad. Denver, Dave, Gomert, Pyle, can we get a surprise?
Surprise, surprise.
Look out, it's Bear. I read Atlas Shrugged recently. It was terrible, but wonder if libertarians might back Trump on the hopes that he would destroy the world's economy and allow a Randian paradise to emerge. All right, one more Let's just take this last call you've been holding for a while. Calling from a 207... 207 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Jimmy. How do I sound? With that,
LBJ's great society. Oh, hold on 1 second, Jimmy.
Poverty had
begun. Oh my God. What FDR started had started with the Jimmy Reefer Cake. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sammy. Thanks for everything, man. That was really funny. You talking to Andy Kindler today?
Yeah.
Every
well, thank
time.
You.
I love it. I could get right to the point. I mean, just because of the song, you know, I express myself, as you know, through
right.
songs.
Yep.
And you're right, man. It's bittersweet. It's a contradiction. It's not, this isn't a clear-cut situation.
Well,
I want
voting
I want
is,
Hillary.
Voting is one of the most binary acts you can ever make.
Yes, as far as the vote, but as far as the issues, my friend, that's what I care about the most. So I want Hillary to speak. I want it to come from her voice. What are you going to do to stop war? What are you going to do to to legalize marijuana. I mean, talk about a contradiction. I'm pretty sure marijuana is a good thing, and yet we spend millions of dollars to police it, right? To put people in jail. That's a contradiction.
If I had to bet, this is what I would bet, that it's I would not hold your breath in terms of the war stuff, particularly if you're looking for anti-war rhetoric. I just don't think that's going to happen. I'm not convinced that she's going to be as bad in terms of foreign policy as people say. But from a rhetorical standpoint, you can bet that it's going to be rather disturbing. But I would guess after 8 years of a Clinton administration, my guess would be that recreational marijuana is going to be legal in the majority of states in this country, well beyond the majority even, and that the federal government will not have it on its schedule of illicit drugs.
Yeah, man. And the other thing, though, hypocrisy so
important. I would skip past the hypocrisy.
I know you don't think so, because you feel like no matter what, the Democratic Party is going to protect us, make us a little bit better than the Republicans. But what I think, my friend, is that if you can't stand up for your values and you're going to be shifty, that is the worst possible thing. Just as Randy Rhodes said, getting a little bit of bacteria in your coleslaw, you want to eat some of that coleslaw? Or go to Jesus Christ. He said, hypocrisy is the yeast of the Pharisees. And it basically...
How's Governor LePage?
Because yeast...
How's Governor LePage? Tell everybody, Jesus. You're from Maine. You're from Maine. Tell everybody why Governor LePage won two terms in Maine.
Absolutely. And it goes right to the song. So the first time the Cutler guy came in, the independent, okay, so the Cutler guy comes in, I think he got like 20%. I mean...
Wait, I'm sorry, did you say the colored guy?
Maine,
oh, the Cutler guy, okay.
Elliot Cutler, the independent.
Right.
I might be raising my voice. I'm getting excited just talking to you, man. But because I want to explain this stuff to you, because you say things about my views, and I really think that...
Tell us the Governor LePage story. Governor LePage story.
So LePage, Elliot Cutler, the first time through, he had a huge charge. And the big thing around here seems to be the Democrats suck, and the Democrat Party sucks, so all these independents. So he got a good amount of votes that first time. And I forget, the candidate was another lackluster Democrat. So I could blame that first time on the independent. But the second time, everybody knew this guy was a chump, this independent Elliot Cutler. I think he might have got like 5%, whatever. It wasn't much. But the problem is that they fielded a candidate for governor by the name of Mike Michio, who was lackluster, milquetoast, not the kind of guy who's going to appeal to people. Pure institutional. These people, when they come out like that, it's the hypocrisy, it's the genuineness. People, even Obama, even he might be a hypocrite, but he comes across as genuine, and I just think that's so important to me. I still have.
I hear what you're saying,
open.
Jimmy. I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
I've been talking a long time.
All right.
All
right. If I hear you correctly, the reason why you have one of the most backward-ass governors in the country is because you don't like the branding and marketing of that guy.
Because the Democratic Party failed us again, two times in a row.
Dude, you know what? Here's the thing, is that the idea of sitting around and waiting for the Democratic Party to live up, to do something for you. No, you know who failed you? The people who didn't vote for the better candidate. Those are the people who failed you.
I still vote for these people. I still vote for the Democratic Party candidate, buddy. I didn't vote. You know, it's
I didn't say you. I said the people who voted, the people who voted for either LePage or the candidate who's clearly not going to win, and it was quite clear the Cutler was not going to win going into that. They're responsible for it.
Well,
yes, I understand. I understand the Democratic Party.
But you got to understand, people are people, and if you're smart, yeah, you're right. It's the marketing. I mean, I guess you want to say it that way, but right. You got to appeal to people to win elections. And that's why this anti-libertarian, anti-freedom, I mean, this whole little...
I'm totally against freedom.
You got to mellow out.
Totally against it.
And it's
totally
like
against freedom. I am anti-freedom. All right, Jimmy, got to go.
I know you're not.
Yeah, I am.
All right, buddy.
I'm going to exercise my freedom right now. I am. I just exercised my freedom to say goodbye, but that's it. Then I'm done with it. Done with freedom. And liberty. Can't wait to go home today and just step all over liberty and freedom. Eli, 173, how about retiring pilot light and bringing back La Poupée? And the final I am, we will be back on Tuesday. There will be no show on Monday. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, folks. Dan Stark, get this guy gone. Well, we will get all of us gone. See you on Tuesday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot light shining bright. I get somewhere the choice was made, for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I get somewhere I lost my drive, between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how takes